Justin, thanks for joining us. The New Mexico Court of Appeals recently upheld a 2018 court ruling that allowed Ultra Health, the state's largest medical marijuana operator, to open two new dispensaries in Española and Los Lunas. Now, the New Mexico Department of Health at the time didn't approve the two dispensaries, citing that Ultra Health had the potential inability to stock the locations. And the department said at the time that there was a potential inability to sustain the locations to serve patients. Can you share with us why you think that this case is so significant to the cannabis industry?
Yeah, I think it's most significant aspect of the case is that basically the courts are holding the department and the regulators who administer the medical program and now the adult use program. They're holding them accountable, and they're holding them to, you know, what the statute provides and what sort of legal authority the department has as it administers rules and regulations under both programs. So it's pretty significant in that respect. You know, the reasons why the department initially denied these applications, you're correct, definitely stemmed from their ability to stock, or at least in the department's eyes, their ability to stock medical cannabis and to supply the actual dispensaries. They also cited some other reasons having to do with security and patient confidentiality, but really what they were hanging their hat on was the ability to stock the dispensary, the product for patients.
Cannabis providers and retailers have kind of signaled the alarm that there could be a shortage in the industry once retail operations for adult use cannabis begin by next April. Do you see this being an issue with for any similar cases?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a real concern. Any time that you limit plants or limit the production capabilities of a licensed operator, you're going to run into those issues, particularly in a new market that has just become legalized from an adult use perspective. You know, there's a lot of guessing, a lot of estimating that goes into this. Fortunately, there's a lot of data out there that New Mexico can look at from other states that were originally medical programs that went into adult use programs. But certainly it's a realistic concern with any new market that comes live. You know, the cultivation cycle is right around 4 months from harvest, seed to sale. And so a lot of the concerns that are going on right now is how do we kind of on two separate paths make sure everything is being done properly from a licensing application stage, and then to when these operators can realistically get plants in the ground. The deadline to for sales is April 1st, 2022. And so we're kind of looking at this holistically saying, okay, if we can get licenses out and approved by this date, and how much time will they have for plants in the ground before they harvest, before that product is available to the end user, customer, or patient. So there's a lot of juggling that's going on right now, trying to figure all of this out. And certainly the plant limitations have been a highly contested topic, both in the medical program, but currently as the department is working through their own rulemaking process and trying to figure out what these limits should be.
Now, with this new law taking effect, and the state is still setting up so many rules and regulations, as we tape this interview, communities around New Mexico are trying to figure out what type of city ordinances they may enact with this new law as well. What are some things that we don't know with this new adult-use cannabis law in New Mexico that you think needs to be addressed before the retail operations are able to be enacted to avoid any further litigation in the courts?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And you hit the nail on the head as far as another layer of challenges that a lot of you know, applicants might not have all their ducks in a row on, and that's at the local level. So the statute, you know, gives broad authority to the department regulating, implementing this program, but local jurisdictions also have the ability to regulate it. They can't outright prohibit it, but, you know, they can enact certain zoning restrictions of where these facilities could be located, where they can't be located. They can have additional setback requirements from things like schools, other licensed operators, and those kinds of things. So applicants not only need to make sure that they're getting everything together and having all their ducks in a row at the state level with the department, but they also really need to make sure that they're involved at the local level and that their facilities would, in fact, comply with local zoning requirements and regulations. And so not only do you have the department trying to finalize the rulemaking by September 1st, but you also have local municipalities, counties, and cities that are kind of scrambling, if they haven't already, to get their own ordinances and regulations in place for these types of businesses.
Employers in the state may be rewriting company policies now that adult-use cannabis is legal in New Mexico. What types of things should some companies consider when looking at their drug use policy and reviewing it?
Yeah, and so typically you only see protections from an employee standpoint, from a medical standpoint, from a medical program. In other words, more often than not, you have protections in place that prohibit discrimination based on a person's status as a medical marijuana cardholder. They're not going to have those kinds of protections for adult use marijuana, so employers will still be able to regulate their own businesses and have drug policies in place and testing requirements in place, so long as those drug testing policies comply with other state law.
New Mexico, being a border state, has a number of Border Patrol checkpoints that are enforcing federal law. Marijuana, of course, is still illegal at the federal level. So what do you think people in the region need to consider when they are, you know, living in areas or traveling in areas where these checkpoints are in place?
Well, cross-border, you know, transactions are illegal outright. Again, cannabis, no matter if you have a state legalized program, is still legal at the federal level right now, although the tide seems to be shifting on that. But it's definitely, you can't bring product, even if you bought it legally in one state, you can't bring it across the border, because again, it's still federally illegal.
Here in the southern part of the state, we have inland checkpoints. If you live in certain communities, you have a good chance of running into one of these checkpoints if you're traveling on a highway. So what are some things that you think folks in these areas need to be aware of with this new law being in place?
Yeah, I think if they are going to be transporting any sort of cannabis product, and they're going to be going through one of these checkpoints, if as long as they purchased it within the state and can demonstrate that, they shouldn't really have a problem. If it were me and I were traveling, I would want to be able to demonstrate that whatever product I have, I acquired within the state from a duly licensed facility.
What about people who are retailers and, transferring product or cash associated with the business?
Yeah. So once the program becomes fully live and licenses will be available for all these other tiers, one of the licenses that will be available is for transporting. And so those have their own requirements in and of itself, whether you're transporting from wholesale to wholesale or from a manufacturer to a retailer license. There's certain things that need to be documented. And so from that standpoint, those sort of policies and procedures should already be set in place. As far as what you have to demonstrate as it relates to the transportation of product.
As everybody considers this law and how to implement it, what are some things you think people need to think about in order to, you know, enforce this law without a whole lot of speed bumps?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no circumstance in which you're going to have a speed bump-free rollout of a program. You know, having represented clients in a number of states and a number of rollouts for licenses and the application process, there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be hurdles. I think if I'm an operator or an applicant trying to get into the industry, you know, common sense always prevails. A lot of times the finite issues and some of the ambiguity that comes along with a new program and what rules and regulations actually mean and how they're enforced and implemented you want to use common sense, right? And for example, you're not going to be, you know, just out there willy-nilly transporting product from your warehouse to your retail location, you know, without proper documentation or without being able to demonstrate to the department that you've complied with whatever rules or regulations you must comply with, whether that be at the state level or the local level. But I don't think that there's any scenario in which this is going to be a completely seamless, hurdle-free, challenge-free rollout of the program, particularly as it relates to the amount of product that will be available in April 2022.
Okay.
So there's a lot of question marks that are still around. You know, being able to work with a department, working with your regulators, and having that good relationship and rapport and kind of working with them as you work through these challenges when they come up, and being able to figure things out, I think is always the best approach.
Justin Brand is a partner and shareholder of Bianchi & Brand, a cannabis-specific law firm based in Arizona. Justin, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.